I think we need one from this side of the room.
Can we have the alphabet song? Number six.
Six. Since I'll start it like the number song, I'll leave it to you.
A, B, C, D, F, G, Jesus died for you and me. H, I, J, K, L, M, N, Jesus died for sinful men. Amen. O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, we believe God's word is true. V, W, God has promised you X, Y, Z, a home eternally.
Yeah.
96.
Number 96. When he cometh,
when he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his love and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in. Oh, what needless pain.
I've got 22 on that clock and 1:45 on that clock, so we'll go with one more song. And I've got 18:02 on that one. So make it a short one. Anybody else? Pete? Number 10? And then we'll go, we'll have two then, see?
Yeah, I want
to go. Number 14. Okay. So we'll do number 10 and then number 14.
Around the throne of God in heaven, many children see. Children whose sins are all forgiven will heavenly anthems spring, singing glory, glory, glory to God on high. What brings them to that world above the heavens so bright and
a favor, Ed.
Okay. Behold.
Before we look into God's Word, let's ask Him for His help. Our God and our Father, we do ask of Thee Thy help. As we open Thy precious Word, we ask that as we look into its pages, that by Thy Spirit, Thy truth would come out in such a way that it is simple, keeping in mind that we have children who are under the sound of it. And so, our God and our Father, this morning we pray for these children, that they, by the sound of Thy Word, might have light that enters, might have faith, that they might accept what has been done for them by Thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning we ask Thee, for Thy help, we give Thee our thanks and we give Thee our praise. And we do so in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, some kids were here yesterday and some weren't. And I was going to test our memories. Can anybody remember who Alan Heslop is? Do you know who Alan Heslop is? Well, Alan Heslop knows who Alan Heslop is, and if you didn't see his hand, you might be at a disadvantage. Well, we'll, as we say in the golf language, we'll give you a handicap. He's sitting right over there in a gray blazer. And yesterday he was wearing a tie. Now, can you remember who was on his tie? We'll get to more important things about Alan Heslop here in a minute. But can you remember who was on his tie?
Yeah, I remember.
Who was on his tie?
Winnie the Pooh.
Exactly right. Well, in Alan Heslop fashion, I'll ask you later who's on my tie. But Alan Heslop's tie having Winnie the Pooh is not what we should remember about Alan Heslop from yesterday. Alan gave us something to help us remember something very important. And he called it Paul's doctrine, and he called it the six facets, or the six components of Paul's doctrine, and he gave us a word that spells it. Well, I'm not going to ask you to repeat it. And then, yesterday, another brother who didn't have Winnie the Pooh on his tie, and I asked him to start a few hymns this morning, said that we need to simplify things and see if we can get it as close to one as we can. And that was Ed over there. So in the spirit of those two brethren and their desire that we would have something that we can remember and that we could have something that would be simple, I thought I would take up the subject of the Trinity. I'm not kidding. Now, if I think about it for a minute, God's an infinite God, and I expect children to understand. I've always been one to bite off more than I can chew, but I think I have something here, tucked away in this little box, that might help us to get our minds around what the Trinity is. And so, let's take a little step back. And this morning we were singing about someone. Can anybody tell me who we were singing about?
God.
We were singing about God. That's one answer. Who else were we singing about this morning? The last hymn we sang, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Who said that? Somebody said that. Who?
The Lord Jesus.
The Lord Jesus, that's right. Those are two of the persons, we would say, of the Trinity. Now, if I can simplify this, there is one God and three persons that make the one God. Now, I, at 33, have a hard time wrapping my mind around that. That's something that even Mr. Heslop has trouble wrapping his mind around. That's something that Ed has trouble wrapping his mind around. Because it's a truth of God that is divine. And so we're not really expected to understand how it all works, but we're expected to believe it and to understand it with the light that the Lord gives us. And so, I want to turn to Mark chapter 12 and verse 28. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and we'll just stop there. The scribes were those smarty pants that always wrote things down. And they always took notes. And they read. They went to school. So this one thought he was pretty smart. And having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the Lord Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, "The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Jump down to verse 32. "And the scribe said unto him," that is the Lord Jesus, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. So, the first thing that we need to learn about God is that there is only one God. The problem with the scribe was he had no idea who he was talking to. And I can recall, not too many months ago, I've been at the company I'm at about three years or so, and I came around the corner and this shorter gentleman greeted me in the hallway, big thick mustache. And I greeted him, said good day, kept going. And I got around the corner and there was these employees, there was a buzz, and I said, what's up? They said, did you know David Shapiro's here today? I said, David who? I said, David Shapiro. The president, CEO, grandson of the founder, he's here. Well, I had just greeted him in the hallway. Had no idea who he was. Well, same thing. This scribe had no idea who the Lord Jesus was. And we're going to find out that the Lord Jesus is God. So the scribe had it right. There is only one God and none other beside Him. Now, we've established that there's one God, and I said that there was three persons in that one God. And so God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So let's look at some verses that tell us that, because it's not good enough to have a guy up here in a Mickey Mouse tie tell you these things. It's not good enough. We need to hear it from the Word of God. So let's turn to John chapter 20. John's Gospel, chapter 20, and verse 17. Jesus saith unto her that is Mary, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but I go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and my God and your God. So here's the Lord Jesus Christ, one who never told a lie, recorded by the Spirit of God, who never told a lie, that God is both God and God is our Father. So we can believe that. So we can approach God as our Father. If we look over a little further in that chapter, down in verse 28, or 27, let's pick up the context. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, that is the Lord Jesus, my Lord and my God. So here we have Thomas. And Thomas is an interesting guy. This Thomas. In that he didn't believe that the Lord Jesus was risen from the dead. When the Lord was crucified, I'm sure Thomas knew quite well what a crucifixion did to a person. And there was absolutely no way that a man could survive that, let alone in Thomas's mind that a man could rise from the dead. What's Thomas's reaction to a risen, glorified Christ? My Lord and my God. And in this book of John, the writer, John the Apostle, is very, very careful to tell us about the person of the Son of God. This whole book is about that person and his relationship to the Father and his actions through the Spirit. And so this whole book deals with our subject. And you're probably wondering when I'm going to get to my little mystery thing. But I'm going to get there. One last verse about these persons in the Godhead. Turn over to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 and verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and bought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. So here Peter gives by the Holy Spirit who the Holy Spirit is. And the Holy Spirit is God. So we have one God. We have God the Father. We have God the Son. We have God the Holy Spirit. And that's all very important. And it might be hard to wrap our minds around. But it's important because of Hebrews chapter 9. So we have one last verse. Hebrews chapter 9 and partway through verse 14. Christ, the Son, who through the eternal Spirit, the Holy Spirit, offered himself without spot to God, the Father. And so, our salvation is worked by not only the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so when we think of John 3:16 and we say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We don't see the Spirit in there, but he's in there. And for the older ones in the room, while you might choose to use the illustration I'm going to present, it's good to remember that God is the divine author. The Son is the divine executor, and the Spirit is the divine illuminator. It's a good way to remember it. That God authored the plan of salvation. God authored creation. The Lord Jesus executed it. He created, and he redeemed. And the Spirit is that part of God that gives us the understanding that we need. Earlier I said that it is up to us to believe it. The Spirit allows us to do that. And it's up to us to understand it to the point that the Lord would have us to. And again, that's what the Spirit does for us. And so, I've presented quite a bit about a Trinity or a triune God. And it might be hard to picture that in our heads. Now, my line of work, it's much easier to draw a picture than it is to explain something. And the people I deal with aren't silly people. They don't have a lot of time. They're very busy. So it's easier to draw them a picture. And I've got something here. Can you tell me what this is? What's that? It's a pretzel. Now, what does a pretzel have to do with a triune God? Well, from what I understand, a pretzel starts out as one piece of dough. And it gets twisted such that it contains three holes. Now, the story goes that this was used way back in 610, so that's before my day, to teach children this very thing that we looked at today. Now, I can't confirm it with absolute veracity, but I can't think of anything better to help us remember the Trinity than a pretzel. One piece of dough twisted to give us three holes. Turn it upside down. What do you see in the middle? What's in the middle?
A diamond.
A diamond? What about this piece here? What's that piece? What does it look like? A letter. One after X before Z. I just gave it to you.
Y.
Looks like Y. Back in the days when school kids were taught to pray while they did their schoolwork, they were given pretzels as rewards. Because that is the way they were taught to pray, their hands open. It's a little extra piece in the pretzel that we can do to remember that when we pray, who hears us? It's an infinite God that hears us. And so again, the pretzel, one piece of dough with three holes. So hopefully, I've done what Alan did yesterday, taught something important, and gave us something to remember it by. And oh yeah, we can remember it, right? We've got a whole bag of them here. Let's, after the Sunday school, we'll all remember by having a pretzel. And if we can be like Ed and try to simplify things, that's pretty simple, right, Ed? Next time we eat a pretzel, even if we eat the straight ones or the ones that look like little cubes or the ones that look like little pillows, we're still going to remember every time we taste a pretzel, aren't we? It's the way I am. I'll never forget what the pretzel does. It reminds me, and so I'll keep this one. So this morning we learned about something that is divine. It's much more than we can actually wrap our minds around. But the Lord Jesus, in his goodness, has given us a way to remember and to learn about him. So that when we pray, we can remember that it's a triune God that's listening. Both the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So maybe we'll just commit ourselves to our God. Our God and our Father, we do thank thee that in some measure we can enter into, understand that which who thou art. And in perhaps the lightest of fashions, understand what thou hast done for us. And we think of these children and how that thou as a infinite God could so love them, so love us. That thou as an infinite God in the person of the Son would volunteer in obedience and offer thyself up through the power of thyself, the infinite God, in the person of the Spirit. Unto thee, our Father, who art the infinite God. And so we pray this morning that as thy word was open, that it might enter. And we know the entrance of thy word giveth light. And we pray that as we continue into Lotus Terry, that we would remember these things. And that we would find ways to remind ourselves of who Thou art, what Thou hast done. And so we give Thee our thanks and we give Thee our praise this morning, our God and our Father. And we do so in the name of Thy only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we have about 7 minutes, 3 minutes, and seven. There's something wrong. Anybody have a favorite they didn't get to give out? Keith, did you have one? Or did you give one?
I didn't
know. Oh, that's right, you did. See, my memory is so terrible. Yeah. 104. I became a dad a little while ago, and I have yet to find a hymn for children that conveys God the Father's advice for kids. This hymn pretty much has it all, so it's a good one. Yield not to temptation. Here for anybody who wants one.